You're listening to WSEA 106.1. This is Black Knight Meditations on every Tuesday evening, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., spending 4 hours of Black Death, Speed, Thrash, Gothic Doom, Shred, Power, Prog, Folk, and Traditional Metal. And we're going to do a little bit something different now because we're going to take a break from the music because I've got a special caller on the air. We're going to talk about the NAMM convention. And for those of you who are like, NAMM, I've heard of it. I kind of know what it is, but I don't know what NAMM stands for. Remember, I told you a couple weeks ago, NAMM stands for National Association of Musicians Who Are Way Better Than Your Sorry Ass. That's what NAMM stands for. I've got Dave Reffitt on the line. He of Guitar World Magazine, Shredding the Envelope, and Metal Musician Extraordinaire. Dave Reffitt was at the NAMM convention recently. He was also part of the NAMM Metal Jam, and he's going to report on all things NAMM. Dave, thanks a lot for calling in to Black Knight Meditations. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Metal musician extraordinary. I love that. I'm gonna quote you on that.
Well, I expect some kickbacks on that one. All right, so just,
absolutely.
Yeah, just keep that in mind. So, thanks for calling in to talk about NAMM, to give us a NAMM report. And we're gonna talk a little bit about you and your projects, your history, because you have a history with WSEA, I should point out. Before we go any further, I should point out that your project, Shredding the Envelope, with the album that was the most played album at WSEA 2 years ago. You're well aware of that. And I have to ask you, before we get into NAMM, since your album was the most played album at WSEA, all artists, all genres, more than Bob Dylan, more than Neil Young, more than anybody else, how has your life changed?
Well, that was incredible, man. I mean, I still think of that from time to time. That's just a real accomplishment, really. I mean, you know, to... Like you said, I mean, Dylan, I mean, come on, dude, that's legendary. And, like, Jeff Beck and guys like that, I mean, to be in that category is pretty amazing. And, and you know, I really, really appreciate you guys really supported it heavy duty, and it was great.
Yeah, the Shredding the Envelope album, The Call of the Flames, it's a fantastic record in that, you know, you get a little bit of thrash, you get a little bit of hard rock, a little bit of modern metal, some instrumental stuff. I mean, it's not just a shred guitar record. I mean, these are actual songs. And again, it ranges from hard rock to metal, a little bit of modern, a little bit of old school. You get a lot of guests on it. And again, before we get into NAMM, I want to point out that part of why, the big reason why it was such a hugely played album here at WSEA by many of the DJs here is that it all started with you and your grassroots promotion, doing it yourself. I mean, you wrote me a letter, a long, long letter. You wrote another DJ here a long letter, introducing yourself, explaining who you are, what you were doing, the CD, explaining Shredding the Envelope. And I remember reading that thinking, wow, I wish all artists would do this. And it simply doesn't happen. You know, but, you know, a few years ago, it was, check out my MySpace page, you know, or if even that. But you really went the full mile on that one, and it paid off. I mean, we really got into the record and played it a lot. And that's a note for all bands. Do what Dave Reffitt did. Promote yourself.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I think that's the kind of dedication that it takes, really. And I listen to everything. You know, there's tons of people that send me, you know, Facebook links and stuff like that, and I enjoy listening to it. But I think when it comes to radio and press, I think you're absolutely right that definitely that personal touch goes a long way, you know.
Yeah, and it certainly does, because it's one thing to get a CD sent by a record label with no promotion, with no one sheet, with no bio, and just going on, well, you know, we're a label, we're sending out stuff, hope you'll play it. It's another thing to get it directly from the artist. Now, granted, you did put out the record yourself, but the reason why I'm stressing this before the NAMM conversation is it can help if you just grind it out and promote yourself. I mean, it really can make a difference. Granted, we're a small station in a small area of New England, but nevertheless, it can help. And again, I'm sure your life has changed drastically because of us playing your record so much.
Millions and millions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you were nothing before 106.1, I tell you that.
Well, you guys did help a lot, man. It definitely was great. And I really appreciate it. And, you know, like you said, I mean, bands being afraid to really promote themselves. I remember when I was working at Virgin Records, you know, my boss, this guy Howard Patriziello, I remember he had a big box of CDs, and he was personally doing them himself, you know, for this band he was promoting. I think it was like Red Jumpsuit Apparatus or something. And I was like, Howard, dude, like, what are you doing? Let me get some interns to do that or whatever. And he was like, Dave, he's like, I'm never too big to do this stuff because this is what it takes. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's cool, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the NAMM convention. again, the National Association of Metal Musicians, or musicians, or just basically people who can outplay you. That's what I tell people.
National Association of Music Merchandisers, I think it is.
These are all a bunch of stuffy-headed guys who think they're so much better than everybody else. That's why they don't let us common folk in the convention. We're not allowed. Only you industry people. I should have been there. I wasn't. I guess I could fault somebody such as yourself for not getting me a pass. Yeah, man, it's all your fault, man. I should have been there. All right, so
next year you got to come for
you. All right, so let's talk NAMM, okay? Because I want you to give a report on a NAMM convention. You know, B&M does reports for the Wacken Festival, the 70,000 Tons of Metal Cruise. So let's do a report for the NAMM convention. Basically, explain what the NAMM convention is.
I think of NAMM really as being the Super Bowl of the music products industry. What it is like, you know, all the big companies, Gibson, Fender, ESP, you know, all that kind of stuff, all the way down to guitar string companies and piano companies and drums. And what they do is they come there and they show off all their new products. And with that, they also, you know, all the big stars are there and they come to show off their products as well. Like, you know, like the Dave Mustaine signature guitar or you know, like I just unveiled a new signature guitar myself, the DR3. We have three models now from Esoteric Guitars, which is this great company out of California that builds me these amazing guitars. And this was a really successful year for us. We sold a ton of them, you know, in a bad economy, you know, so that was, I was really shocked by that. And, but it's just a great time, man. All the big companies that are there, Ibanez, and basically anybody you could imagine meeting are there. You know, like I hung out with Michelangelo Badio a lot, and then I met Bootsy Collins, and then, you know, like
Bootsy,
you know, Duff McKagan's walking around. And,
it doesn't get any more metal than Bootsy, I tell you.
Yeah, it does. He's pretty cool. And then, just everybody.
All right, so how does someone get to attend the NAMM convention? Do you have to be invited?
Yeah, it's like industry people. Or, you know, you can be a guest. Like for myself, like I'm an artist, so like I endorse a lot of these products. So like, you know, my guitar company got me in this year, but I could get in through a bunch of different people, like my pickup companies. I was there supporting them, and then I was there promoting Eminence speakers, who I'm affiliated with. And but what you can do is all these companies also have guests, you know, so they can put you on that list. So there are people who are fans who just come there to enjoy the festivities and stuff that get in that way.
All right. So let's say you're there because you're promoting products that you endorse. What do you do throughout the day? I mean, how do you spend your time in the convention center? What is your day like as somebody who's there, part of the industry?
Well, like I was telling you off the air, man, I've been home for probably 9-10 days, and I'm still exhausted. And it's, you know, like my day basically at NAMM starts. I get up, I'm there at the convention center at 10 a.m. when it opens. And, you know, you just start rocking, man. Like I had performances at a bunch of different, you know, I played for Eminence and I hung out with Seymour Duncan and did some interviews and I played for my guitar company. And so I'm just running, basically everybody's just running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And, you know, like I was talking to I think the dude's name is CJ from Drowning Pool. And we were just laughing about how, you know, like, you come there and you just, like, forget to eat anything. And then it's 5 o'clock and you're like, oh, dude, I feel horrible. You know what I mean? So I probably walked, like, 15 miles every day. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. And so for me, that's basically what I did, you know, like, meet with fans and, you know, play for the different booths and that sort of thing. And just try to create awareness for the products and also, you know, it's a good networking event. You know, you never know who you're going to meet and all that kind of thing.
So you're saying that even though you got to do a lot of cool stuff, it may sound like you're having a good time and you're playing around, but it really is work.
For an artist, yeah, it's definitely work. I mean, you know, if you're getting the most out of it, it's definitely work. I mean, if you want to go there and drink 20 beers and go back to the hotel and fall asleep, you can do that too. But, you know, that's not the best way to do it, I don't think. But there are a lot of, you know, fans and people that go there just to enjoy it and go to the different signings. You know, maybe there's a, maybe they've always wanted to meet Slash or something, you know, and so they find out where he's going to be and then they go get a shot with him or whatever, you know, get something signed.
And when you're talking about jamming, you're doing your own thing, whether you're, you know, basically promoting your guitars. I mean, how does that work for somebody who's never been to a convention like this? Do you, I guess there's a booth set up and then you're just playing and people can just come up and watch you and ask questions or talk to representatives from the company. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge place, man. I think this year there was 250,000 people.
And holy crap.
Yeah, it's insane. And there's tons and tons and tons of booths. And, you know, depending on the size of the company, I mean, like Ibanez has a huge booth. I mean, their booth goes on for days. And then, like, Dean Guitars, they have a lot of big metal names that play their stuff. So their booth is always a big hot spot. And so it depends on the size you have. And then, like, with Eminence, my speaker company, you know, they have a really sizable place. And they're right next to Ibanez and all these big companies. So when I play for them, you know, I'm right there in, like, real primo real estate. And there's tons of people that can stop and check it out and that kind of thing. And, yeah, I got a really, really great reception this year. Last year was amazing, too, because I did a jam with Chris Poland. And we basically just had the aisles stopping. You know, people were stopping, checking it out, and there was a ton of people. So that was killer. And, but, yeah, it's basically just, like, one big, huge, insane Guitar Center kind of vibe. So, like, you can check something out, and then you can wander off and check something else out, and then so it's kind of cool because you never know who you're going to run into. You never know what you're going to stumble upon. You might see, you know, Bootsy Collins jamming with Mike Portnoy or something. You know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I wouldn't mind catching that. And, of course, going on to YouTube, you see a lot of this footage that people record either, you know, on their phones or they take cameras and they catch some of the jam footage. I remember you you have some footage online of you jamming with a couple people last year. So let's talk about the jams. How many did you do with other people and who were they with?
Well, last year it was cool because, you know, hot off my record, I met up with Lynch and those guys, and I did a really cool one with Lynch that was kind of on the fly and
George
just had
Lynch,
fun
yeah.
with it and didn't plan it out too much. And then with Chris Poland, same thing. Like, I just kind of sat in with him and his bass player, and we just picked a key and went for it. And that was really cool. And I got a lot of emails of people like, dude, it was the coolest footage at NAMM and blah, blah, blah. So that felt really good. And then this year I did a lot on my own. And then, with Neil Turbin, the original singer from Anthrax, we did a lot of stuff. So that was cool. Cause we did the NAMM metal jam together out there.
And oh, yeah, then, we're going to talk about
we
that.
We decided to get together at some of the, you know, like I was performing at Eminence, and then, you know, so we thought it'd be kind of cool to go there and play a couple tunes or whatever.
All right, so when you're jamming with these other artists, whether last year, this year, whatever, is it really a case of, hey, it's Dave Reffitt, you know, and can I sit in with you and let's jam? I mean, does it really work out that way? Do you schedule this ahead of time? You just walk up and say, let's do it? How does it work?
Well, yeah, some of the ones in the past for me, you know, I already had a relationship with those guys, and we already knew each other a little bit and stuff. And, you know, now I know them a lot more. But those were kind of planned out a little bit, you know, not super planned out. Like with George, I saw him the night before at the we were at the Seymour Duncan VIP party. And it was the 35th anniversary of Seymour Duncan, so it was like a big night, and everybody was there. And I just kind of was like, hey, George, man, it'd be great to jam. You know, like, I figured all he could do was say no. And we did it, and it was great. But there is a certain element at NAMM of, you know, anything can happen. You know, so I think that certainly can go down. You know, if you see somebody cool and you ask them, I'm sure, you know, 9 times out of 10, they would say yes. Like with Uli John Roth, I saw him last year, and I was like, Uli, dude, you know, we got a jam. And he was like, he told me yes. And then the next day, you know, and I understand, man, you know, the guy was like way too tired, and because it is, it's exhausting. The whole thing, like I said, I walked like 15 miles a day. So, but, yeah, Uli's a super cool guy, and, I hope I get to jam with him someday. But so, yeah, there's always possibilities for that stuff.
All right. Did you, is something like this a case of you're kind of promoting something and you've got other companies coming up to you, or other artists find that other companies are coming up to them to sort of get their foot in the door with that particular artist to see if they can have a potential relationship, like another pickup company comes up to you and says, you know, we like what we hear with you. You know, here's our card. Give us a call. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on too, I take it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely... Or, you know, there's scenarios where let's say there's a guitar player you're talking to, and they'll be like, who are you with, man? And you tell them who they're with, and they're like, oh, dude, that's cool, because I'm really unhappy with so-and-so, whatever company it is. You know, so there's a lot of that stuff that goes down, be it, you know, different reasons. You know, maybe they're not promoting the person enough, or maybe they're not giving them the gear they think they're entitled to, or whatever. Mm. But, yeah, and there's definitely, I'm sure there's a lot of that, where there's companies trying to steal people away and stuff like that, especially if it's a big, big name person. And with me, you know, it's always cool. I always meet tons of people, and I've gotten involved with some really great companies and stuff like that, so.
So, how about some cool stories or horror stories from this year's NAMM? I mean, is there anything, you know, were there brawls? Were there, did somebody show up that was totally unexpected that people thought was dead? I don't know. Any cool stories or horror stories?
Well, the horror story for me every year with NAMM is, you know, like, I always overplay. You know, like, I practice too much going in, which you got to practice, you know, and then, but I'll get there. And my fingers will be, like, so tender and stuff. Like if you've ever cut your nails, like, too close,
yeah.
You know, it gets, like, cut to the quick or whatever they call that, and it hurts.
Yep.
That happens to me from overplaying. And so, like one year, like, I had that big jam with Chris Poland, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm going to sound horrible. You know, and then this guy, I was talking to this dude, and he was like, dude, you should get some super glue. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, they invented super glue in Vietnam, you know, for guys. And I was like, oh, dude, it's worth a shot. And I tried it, and it was amazing. You know, I was, like, playing the best I'd played in days because I could actually play pain-free.
Super gluing your fingers?
Yeah. So, well, what I did was the skin part, like the skin of your finger right under the nail itself, you know, like put a little glue in between the, you know, right under where the nail is, and then just push the kind of fat skin part of the finger until they reconnect. And then you don't have tons of pain when you play.
Wow.
If that makes any sense.
No, it kind of does, but I guess these conventions are good for all kinds of things.
That's
super gluing
right
your
there.
Body.
That's dedication. Yeah, man, like I was, the other horror story this year is just like, you know, it's good to take on more than you can chew, but this year I was like, you know, I was just so beat.
So,
and we went to, you know, like, we went out to the Dean show after all the festivities, and I was like, dude, I really should go get some sleep, but I don't want to miss the show. And I went there, and I was so tired by the time Testament came on. I was like, ah, oh, dude, I got to leave. So I missed Testament.
You missed Testament?
Yeah, and the
Dave,
band before Testament.
Dave,
you know,
I
won't say who they are, but it was just, ugh.
You were so not metal. You missed
Testament.
Well,
it was not. You know, I had just seen Testament recently, and then the band before them was like, pretty atrocious.
Uh-oh. Who were they?
I'm not saying it.
Oh, come on. Nobody's listening. Nobody's going to hear
I'm
this.
I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, I had seen Testament recently, so like, but I love Testament.
Oh, they're great.
Bands.
They're great. They're great. Hey, you
but,
know.
Other than that, I can't think of any real horror stories or anything.
So there weren't any, no dust-ups or no, like, somebody showed up that's a famous company, and then they were like their whole display was a disaster. Basically, it was uneventful per se, is what you're saying.
Well,
not that I'm trying to find any dirt, but if you've got some, I mean, why not? You know,
yeah, right.
a lot can happen at these kinds of things. You know,
exactly. And we went to see Steel Panther, man. That was
how was that? Those guys are
great. I had no idea. Like, I mean, I knew they were good, but like the musicianship was
oh, they're
so, like,
fantastic.
Impressive. The guitar player is insane.
Yeah, those guys have been around forever. I mean, they've been in other bands. I mean, one of the guys was in Fight with Halford.
Oh yeah. Oh wow.
They've been around for years. I mean, these guys are not just because Steel Panther's new. I think a lot of people don't realize that these guys are actually veterans in the music scene. Now, granted, they've had a couple names for their band, and you know, they've done the whole L.A. metal school thing they used to be called. But yeah, these guys have been around.
I remember they were in the Atomic Punks, which was like the Van Halen tribute.
Yeah,
I had no idea they were in Fight. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So he shreds. The guitar player is awesome. Actually,
and they were really funny, dude. Like the show was 2 hours, and they probably did like 45 minutes of comedy. It was great.
Yeah,
they were like
guys
ripping
were
off
blast.
People. Like, they were like roasting people in the audience and
roasting
the security guards. It was great.
You know, if there's one, if the one bad thing about Steel Panther, not fit for radio. It just,
yeah,
I mean, there's
yeah,
songs,
yeah.
There's like one or two songs on the two records that we could air on the radio, and the rest are just so obscene. But yeah, what were they there? What was the band like Steel Panther there promoting?
I think that, I don't know if they were actually Inside NAMM, but, you know, they were smart, and, you know, with that influx of population there, you know, they took advantage, and they did a show at the Anaheim House of Blues, which was totally sold out, and that's where I saw them. And then I think they did another one at the Sunset House of Blues, which is a big, you know, super big House of Blues.
So what you're saying is that there are a lot of goings-on around the convention that are not connected to it, but are sort of taking advantage of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, 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 like the Testament thing was brilliant, you know, the Dean Guitars are always really, really smart about how they promote themselves, and they always have killer events. And we did, you know, like me and my guitar company, we did the NAMM Metal Jam, and that was really successful. And Schecter had, like, Feather and a couple other bands or whatever. But, yeah, people are smart. And Tony McAlpine did a bunch of dates.
Oh, Tony God McAlpine, yeah.
And a friend of mine, her name's Neely Bross. She's playing guitar for him now. So
related to Ethan?
Playing those gigs.
She related to Ethan?
Yes.
Okay.
Sister.
Okay. 5 minutes before the hour, we're talking with Dave Reffitt about the NAMM convention. Dave's giving us a report on all the goings-on, what NAMM is, and what happens inside and apparently outside of the convention as well. So did you yourself discover any new artists or new gear?
The only person that I saw that was new that I didn't know about that I was like, wow, and I don't even know the guy's name. I'll have to ask my friend who he was, but next to our booth, there was this kind of like old black guy bass player, probably like 70. The dude was insane. And he had like, he was playing bass and he had probably like three drummers with him. It was kind of like real jazzy, kind of Cuban-y kind of stuff. Very virtuosic. You know, it was killer. And, but yeah, I wish I had discovered like some new metal and stuff, but I didn't see anybody really.
What about gear? Did you find any new gear or anything? From a musician standpoint that is new to you, that you're excited about, whether guitar or pickups, that kind of stuff?
There was a, let me think for a minute. You know what? My speaker company, Eminence, you know, I've tried all their stuff in the past and it's all great, but they had this new, Eric Johnson signature speaker. And I was like, oh my God, the tone on that is just insane. So they've got about two or three on their way to me, so I'm excited to get those in my cabinets.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about this NAMM and Metal Jam that you were a part of. This was a show that happened outside of the convention itself. You and a couple of other guys, why don't you tell me who you played with and how this all came about?
Yeah, you know, I had the idea for it with Neil Turbin, who was the original singer in Anthrax, and he's got the Death Riders now.
Yep.
And, you know, Neil had done them in the past at the Whiskey with Michelangelo playing with him. And, you know, like he would do his Death Rider set, and then Michelangelo would come up and do three or four songs or whatever, like as a special guest. And then, you know, we wanted to do something kind of cool. And I've always wanted to do something like that with a big presence for NAMM. And we were going to play at the Hilton, the hotel, you know, which is where all the big rock stars hang out and stuff, and that would be perfect. But we kind of missed the ball on that one, like we kind of missed the deadline to submit or whatever. And so we were bummed about that, but then I started contacting some different clubs, and then there was a place called Chain Reaction, which, you know, gave us a really good deal, like a nice guarantee and everything, so we could pull it off. And then we just made it happen, you know, like Neil recommended Rev Jones, the bassist, who, like, he's played for Michael Schenker, and he was in Fuel and, like, Black Symphony, and now he plays for Leslie West, and I love Leslie West. I interviewed him for Guitar World, and I'm a big fan of his, and his new record is Smoking, by the way. But, so, you know, Neil recommended Rev, and then Rev knew I was going to get my buddy Patrick Johansson, who plays for Yngwie. But he had a session, which I had, oddly enough, you know, recommended him for. So the timing, like, didn't work out. But then Rev was like, hey, I know Jeff Martin, you know, who used to sing in Racer X. And I was like, oh, cool, you know. So I had no idea that he was such an accomplished drummer. Like, he had played for, you know, Michael Schenker and all those guys. you know, Paula Gilbert and, you know, George Lynch and guys like that. And I think he was in Badlands, too. He was in Badlands, and then he was in Dokken. So we got Jeff to do drums, and then my buddy Joe Gettler, who's a Berklee student, who's a really good friend of mine. He's a really great guitar player. I brought him along with me, and he did a killer job.
Nice.
And then, of course, Neil. You know, Neil sang the vocals.
Right. All right, so the idea was to do a metal jam, and you did a little bit of a tribute to Ronnie James Dio, as every band should at least once,
right?
Since Ronnie died a couple of years ago. Wow, it's almost been 2 years, man.
I know.
Unreal,
dude.
Almost 2 years. So what songs did you play?
Well, we opened up with Stand Up and Shout.
Stand Up and Shout, oh yeah.
Which is one of my favorite songs ever.
Great Dio tune.
Yeah, and you know, it would have been great to do some kind of more obscure kind of Dio stuff. But it's kind of good to do the ones people know, because then they get excited and all that. But yeah, there's so many Dio songs I'd love to do.
Oh yeah.
We also did Long Live Rock and Roll.
Great Rainbow.
And
tune,
that
yeah.
was really cool because we had Bobby Rondinelli,
oh, okay.
who was in Rainbow. He came out and played it with us.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was very fun, and he's a monster. Dude. He's great.
Well,
and,
what was that?
I think we did some more Dio. Well, we did like Black Sabbath. We did like. What's that song called? Just Neon Nights.
Neon Nights.
Did the Mob Rules.
Oh, cool. The thing with Bobby, did you know ahead of time that he was going to be there? I mean, did he just jump up out of nowhere and offer to do it, or how did that work out?
Rev's good buddies with him,
okay.
And basically the day of the thing, I think probably 3 or 4 hours before it, Rev was like, yeah, Bobby's going to get up. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
Cool. You're listening to WSCALP Portsmouth. 106.1 on your FM dial. We're streaming online at WSCAFM.org. This is Black Knight Meditations. We're talking with Dave Reffitt, filing a NAMM report, and we're talking about the NAMM Metal Jam that Dave, it sounds like you had a great time doing. Other than the Dio Rainbow tunes, what other stuff did you do with these guys?
We did a great Gary Moore tribute, too. You know, we all love Gary Moore, and he is sorely missed. One of the great, great guitar players. We did Out in the Fields. That was very cool.
All right, okay.
And we did John Sykes' version of Bad Boys, which was great. It was great fun. And we did some really great Michael Schenker tunes, like we did Armed and Ready and Feels Like a Good Thing. And then we did like 3 Thin Lizzy tunes right in a row off of the Live and Dangerous record. We did like exactly the way that they do it. We did Cowboy Song into The Boys Are Back in Town into Don't Believe a Word. Yeah, so that was fun. And then we did Burn by Deep Purple. We did Highway Star. We did Bad Motor Scooter by Montrose. And we had Michael T. Ross, who plays keyboards for like Lita Ford and Missing Persons and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And we thought Lita was going to show up to do Bad Motor Scooter because she's a huge Montrose fan. So that didn't work out, unfortunately, but... How cool would that have been, right?
That would have been pretty cool. Though I must say that if she were on stage, I probably wouldn't be focusing on you or anybody else.
Yeah, right.
I think everybody else in the club would have been just focusing on something other than you guys.
Mm-hmm. I got a picture with her. I'll send it to you. It was cool.
Cool.
We're both Seymour Duncan artists, so it was
fun, okay.
You know.
Okay, and actually, she's got a new record coming out. Apparently, it's supposed to be more of a return to the old school style Lita stuff. But speaking of new records, let's talk about you. What's new for Dave Reffitt? I mean, are we going to get another Shredding the Envelope record? Are we just going to get a record under your name? Or are you going to be playing on some other artist records? I mean, what's going on with you musically right now?
I'm going to be playing on, I'm really thrilled about it. I'm going to be playing on Michelangelo's next CD, which is called Intermezzo, I think he's calling it. So I'm really stoked to do a solo on that. He's one of my huge influences, and he's not the reason I picked up the guitar, you know, back in the day, Metallica was, but he was the reason that I took it to the level I did. Like, he's the reason I wanted to be so good.
And
so I give him a lot of credit. And
I think you guys need to do, like, a guitar duel. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, that'd be fun. The what else? I'm doing the Death Riders record with Neil Turbin. You know, like he's a great singer, man. So I'm excited for that, and the songs are fantastic. So.
Are you gonna do the guitars for the whole record, or are you just guesting on a song or a solo? What's going on there?
I think, you know, like he did these songs with he wrote the songs, a lot of them with this guy Jonas from Sweden, and so I think, you know, if Jonas is gonna be involved in any way, that's cool, because he was a big part of it. And so I think I'll end up playing a lot of it because I don't think Jonas has the time to do it. But, you know, so any way I can be involved is awesome. You know, it's looking like I'm going to do a ton of it. And I'm writing some songs. You know, me and Neil are writing a couple, and I'm helping him write a, you know, finish up a few that he's been doing. So it's a really cool project, and, you know, it's taken some time because everybody, you know, everybody involved are such perfectionists, and we don't want it to be anything short of awesome. So, but I'm excited about it. I think it'll be great.
You know, what about your own music?
With my own stuff, I have been working on, I've been writing, you know, so it's a tricky thing. You know, you don't want to rush something out there because then it seems like it is, you know, like you got to live life in between so you have something to write about, right? But these new songs are awesome, and I really can't wait. You know, I wish I could go in and do it tomorrow, but it takes time. But
is it like
I've got a new what's that?
Is it like the Shredding the Envelope record, The Call of the Flames? Is it along those lines or something different?
I'd say it's along those lines. I'd like to get more into. There were certain songs on there that I really loved the way I kind of opened up my voice a little more and sang kind of more. In the style that I love, you know, guys like, you know, Sebastian Bach and Dio and guys like that, you know, real singers. Mm. So there's hopefully going to be some more of that. I'm really working hard on that. And I'd also like to go a little crazier with the production in terms of different avenues, you know, like maybe do kind of like a more ballady kind of thing here, or maybe like in the middle of a fast, crazy, heavy song, go into something really kind of takes you on a journey kind of thing, you know?
Ah, because every bad boy has his soft side.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, you want to do a love song. Right? Yeah, you want to have the lighters held high. That's what it is. Or in these days, it's not a lighter, it's a cell phone. But, yeah, all right.
So I don't know. You know, time will only tell, I guess. I mean, you know, I might wake up the day we're going to record and be like, you know what, let's just make another, you know, kick them in the balls kind of album. But we'll see. I'm excited for it, whatever the future holds.
And you're still writing for Guitar World, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's been really great. You know, like, I read them when I was a little kid, and that's always been a dream of mine to be in them. And so I got to be in the magazine a ton, featuring me, you know, playing-wise. And I really, really like those guys, and they're very cool. And I've been featured on their Lick. I've been doing a lot of stuff lately for their Lick of the Day,
right,
which is an iPhone app. And they have, like, a million subscribers. And I do licks on there. Like, I had like 7 in December. It was awesome. And, you know, they have a different lick every day, and it's a really great way for people to get lessons with, you know, top-notch guys for like a small price. You know, it's guys like me and Joe Satriani and Zach Wilde and Gus G and stuff like that, and it's only like, you know, $8 a month or something.
Big names there, man, big names.
So
you're,
it's really cool.
You're in good company.
And it's, so I highly recommend that to anybody that has an iPhone or an iPod Touch or any of that stuff.
So how does someone contact you? Maybe they want to explore the possibility of working with you, or maybe just a fan who likes your stuff or wants to maybe check out Shredding the Envelope. How do people get in touch with you, whether email, website? What do you got?
I get a lot of messages on YouTube. I get a lot of, you know, I got one today that was really, really nice. The guy was like, dude, I just wanted to tell you you're an amazing guitar player and that I listen to Shredding the Envelope record almost every day. I mean, that kind of stuff really means a lot to me. That's really cool that you made an impact with somebody like that. And Facebook is another way. I'm on there quite a bit. And, you know, I like to chat with the fans. There's people from all over the world send me stuff, and I love that. I love. And sometimes I just do cool stuff. I'll be like, you know, who wants a guitar lesson? You know, and I'll just like... You know, like I'll just pick somebody randomly and give them like an hour Skype class or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff is cool. And, the other Guitar World thing that's really fun for me is I've been doing celebrity interviews. So I'll just interview people that I think are interesting or that I like. You know, like I interviewed Leslie West, I interviewed Sebastian Bach. And
you interviewed Tony McAlpine?
Yeah. Tony McAlpine. Yeah, I sent you that one because I know you love him.
Oh, yeah. I got to have him on B&M for sure.
I'll put you in touch with his manager guy.
So do you have an email address you want to give people or a URL, a website address that people can contact you?
I would just look me up on Facebook is a good way. If they want to learn more about me, Wikipedia is a really good way. That's pretty concise. My own official site, I basically got it, you know, so nobody else could get it. It's DaveRepit.com. it's kind of a mess right now, honestly. I haven't had the time to deal with it. But I will be updating that and making it look all nice and keeping everything up to date. But I think Facebook is so instant. So, like, you know, you can be on top of everything. So, like, people can always hit me up on there, and I answer every one of them. So.
All right. So Facebook, do a search for Dave Reffett, R-E-F-F-E-T-T. On Facebook. That's how people can track you down. All right, and I do want to point out one thing. You posted something online through Guitar World about your favorite Kiss songs. You did that not too long ago, and I got to tell you, good job. I mean, you chose some rare cuts. You picked a few cuts of mine that are some of my favorites, and you didn't stick with the usual tune, so you dug deep. And as I've mentioned on air many times, Kiss is my absolute all-time favorite band. Any kind of music, and they always will be. So, you know, hey, if something happens and Tommy Thayer decides to move on, you know, maybe you try out. You know,
I'll have to convert to Judaism and wear a big black wig.
Hey,
that would have to happen, I think.
Fun fact: did you know that Doug Aldrich tried out for Kiss?
Wow!
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and actually, to replace Ace Frehley that long ago.
He'd be a great fit, man. He'd
yeah. That long ago, go figure.
One of my favorite players.
Oh, man.
Michelangelo tried out for him, too.
You know, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, he was telling me about that. He was
wow.
He tried out during the kind of right before Vinnie Vincent. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. I don't think I've ever heard that one. Huh? That'd be interesting hearing Michelangelo and Kiss. I guess we kind of got a little bit of that when Mark St. John was in Kiss for the Animal Eyes with a shredding guitar. So.
Yeah, Gene's a big fan of his playing, so that would have been cool. I think that he would have sounded great with them. Yeah, the Kiss thing, you know, I didn't want to. It was actually their decision to call it the 21 best Kiss songs. Like, I basically wanted it to be a bunch of Kiss songs that people probably didn't know. Like,
right.
I mean, like you know, my whole thing was like Kiss is so underrated. You know, like I mean, people
so.
Know
yep.
like Rock and Roll All Night, but they don't know Shandy. They don't know all these great songs.
Exactly, totally.
You
agree.
Know, so I wanted to expose people to these different songs, and it was funny, like. I got so many comments, like people were like, dude, how can you have a best Kiss list and not have Shout It Out Loud? And I'm like, dude, that's like the fourth one on the list.
But, I mean, it's on everybody's list. I mean, it's one of the most well-known Kiss songs, too.
Yeah,
but,
it's like one of the first ones I put. And I'm like, dude, you didn't even read the thing. What was really cool was the webmaster from Kiss wrote me, and he's like, dude, we loved your article. And you know, he's like, I put it on the site, and I put it on the Kiss Facebook, and he said, by the way, Paul really loves it. I was like, wow.
Cool. Well, you got great songs
got, like,
in there.
It got like 3,000 likes on the Facebook. It was cool.
As it should. You picked out, and not necessarily the studio cuts either. You know, you had some live versions in there. And, you know, I have a bunch of favorite Kiss songs, but Nowhere to Run. I mean, it's just, I love that song.
Yeah.
And it's a forgotten Kiss song. It really is. Kiss needs to relearn that song and play it live. It'll never happen, but... You know, I can dream. All right, yeah. Dave. Hey, man, thanks a lot for calling in to report on the NAMM convention, the NAMM Metal Jam. Update us on what's going on with your music. I certainly appreciate your time in the last, like, 40 minutes or so that we've been talking. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate everything you do.
Yeah, and I will say that next year, if you go to the NAMM convention, take me with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Give me a pass so I can get in, and at the very least, we'll have you back next year to report on NAMM again and talk about some more jamming, and maybe there'll be some horror stories, or maybe you'll get to jam with a Tony or Doug or somebody like that, or maybe Ace will show up and you get to shred with him. You never know.
Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Well, cool, brother.
All right, take care, Dave. Thanks a lot, brother.
See ya. Hell yeah!